TV.
From Highland, New York, once again, this is Mark Zender. Welcome to the show. I'm not feeling my best, actually, so if you folks could extend some grace today, I'm going to make it a short show. It's really cold now. It's 47 degrees, I think, and it's Monday morning. We're flying back home at 8 o'clock. Tonight, probably not going to get home till 10 or 11. Probably won't get home till 11 o'clock. Luke lives in Milton. We don't have a car. Otherwise, I'd be in my car right now. I don't have a car. We didn't rent a car. We're dependent on Luke to crate us around. We're about 15 minutes from Luke and Mushroom's place. I'm sorry I didn't have a photo of Luke and Mushroom. Mushroom is Chinese. That's not her actual name, but I don't really know her actual name. She's always been Mushroom to me because of her hair. I'll find an old picture. Last time we were here, maybe a year ago, I'll find a picture and put it in here. And then Luke lent me a tripod thingy. So I'm holding a tripod thing instead of the phone. And I think I moved around too much yesterday like this. I mean, I got a little car sick watching my own video. So I hope everybody was cool. Did you guys notice my mistake yesterday at the end of the show? Yeah, I said I was jealous of the people in the hotel over here. What was wrong about that? Did anybody get the mistake? It contradicted something I said at the beginning of the video concerning jealousy, comparing it with envy. Jealousy requires three parties. Envy only requires two. So I wasn't jealous of the people in the hotel. I envied them. So let that be a lesson to all of us. And I'm still envying them right now. And in fact, it's almost 8 a.m. I think I'm gonna go back to bed. I've been up since 5:30. I'm going to go back to bed after I make this and edit this video. But Luke's going to pick us up at 10. We're going to take the train back to Grand Central Station. And then we're going to meet up with Maria's brother, who lives in Manhattan. I don't know. I probably won't be able to get you a picture, but he's a cool dude. And he's got an apartment there. So we're going to go to the Metropolitan Museum of Art, which I'm looking forward to. Anyway, I didn't finish a thought from a few days ago. I was talking about Paul on Mars Hill in Acts 17, 24, 25. The shock of Paul saying that God is not attended by human hands. First, he says that God does not dwell in temples built by human hands. Neither is he attended by human hands as if requiring anything. In order to be literally attended by human hands, God would have to be in need of something. God would have to require something from human beings. And I want to emphasize how Paul is bringing us the absolute truth here. Now, some of the Athenians probably heard of the religion of the Jews, and they would have said, Paul, how can you say God is not attended by human hands? Your religion back in Jerusalem is nothing but God being attended by human hands. God has all these rules and regulations, and the people are expected to attend to him. They built him a temple, and they have 613 laws, so what do you mean God is not attended by human hands? And at that point, Paul would have said, well, you people are really privileged because I am giving you absolute truth. This is absolute truth. That's all a front. That's not really the true God. God doesn't need anybody to do any of that stuff for him. God doesn't wait to see if people are going to make him happy. It is Paul didn't go into detail like I'm going to go in the detail with you here today, but Paul would have had to have talked about the absolute and the relative truth. He would have had to have talked about God condescending to humanity, God being so great, God needing to teach human beings things that he has to condescend to them. God did as though he required things. That's true. God did as though. Just like, remember Jesus on the road to Emmaus? He did as though he were going further in order to elicit a response from the two disciples. And they said, no, don't go. Stay with us tonight. And they implored him and he stayed. But he did as though. And that, that the whole tabernacle system is the Lord doing as though. The problem is Israel is so spiritually dense, and Christianity is too, that they think that God literally has to have these things, that God is emotionally vacant. He has an emotional vacuum that can only be filled by humans attending to him. He's so desperate, this God is. And Paul is revealing absolute truth. This is a shock. Paul's revealing absolute truth to the Athenian philosophers. God's not attended by human hands. So the Athenian philosophers got more truth about God than the whole Jewish world. The whole Jewish world. They were never told that God is not attended by human hands. They were told that God is attended by human hands. But again, that is condescension. That is God teaching people how inaccessible he truly is. How inaccessible he truly is. How difficult it is to reach him, so that when the final heart, when the heart of God is finally revealed, then people will, and we have access with confidence, as Paul says later in Ephesians, then people will, it will stun them seeing what went before, how difficult it was to get to God before. And now to have access with confidence to the Father, the only way you can appreciate that is with the contrast, the contrast. And so that was, that's what God was setting up, but God is not literally attended by human hand. I just want to re-emphasize that. And I also mentioned that word attended. It was the Greek word therapeuo, from which we get our word therapy. And the Greek elements, the English elements, are warm from. Like when you think a therapist puts his hands on you and you get warmth from the therapist. And God is not attended. That's the word attended, therapeuo in the Greek. God is not warm from. God is not required therapy from human hands. But Paul says, and I didn't get to this last week, he himself gives to all life and breath and all. So not only is God not attended by human hands, but he attends every human. He's the one who therapeuos the humans. He gives us the therapy, warm from. Our bodies are like 98.6 degrees. So it's warm, we're warm. Why are we warm? Because God's therapy, God's hand is continually on us. And in fact, it's on every human being. His spirit dwells in every human being. God gives to all life and breath and all. God gives the atheists breath. He gives those who hate him breath, and he gives them all. He gives them everything, even though they don't know him and they don't love him. They hate him. They don't believe in him. That's okay. He goes, as if I need their acceptance to feel needed, to feel loved, as if I need their acquiescence, their agreement that I'm God in order to feel whole. No, God doesn't need any of that. And this is a mature revelation that Israel doesn't have and the Christianity today still doesn't have. And Paul gave it to a bunch of heathen philosophers on Mars Hill. That's the beautiful shock of Acts 17. I just love that. I love he's giving absolute truth to these people. So I want you to be camped on the absolute truth that God does not require anything. And this goes against human free will, doesn't it? Human free will says that God requires your belief in order to be saved. No, he gives you the belief in order to have aeonian life so that he can bring some human beings in early and fellowship with them. But he has to do everything. Why? Because he himself gives to all life and breath and all. So anytime you're tempted by any religion, whether it's the Jewish religion or the Christian religion, to think that God is attended by human hands, absolutely speaking. And even if somebody points to the Israel ceremony and say, see, you need to tell them, you need to emphasize to them that that was God doing as though he needed that. But God doesn't really need that. Well, you got a verse for me? Yeah, Acts 17, 24, 25. Neither is he attended by human hands as if requiring anything. As if God would require anything. And yet these folks, these religious folks, believe absolutely that God requires things. This is a terrible viewpoint of God. It is demeaning to him. It is, again, taking a snapshot of him relating to human beings in the language of humans and saying that this is God. This is God when he talks to ants in the language of ants, and then recording that stupid language and saying this is the essence of God. This is absolutely him. No, it's not. He is not attended by human hands. And so, and I like the idea of God as our therapist. God gives to all life and breath and all. It's his warm from, his therapeuo that keeps us alive. Every breath you take is because of God. The movement of your organs, the fact that you breathe all night without your consciousness. How does that happen? Your heart keeps beating without your consciousness, without your knowledge, without your acquiescence. It just keeps beating, boom, boom, boom. What? It's God's therapy, God's therapy. Anytime you feel good, that's God's therapy. Anytime you feel bad, that's God pressing in with his warm hands. And I hate to say it, but at that time, you need to feel bad. I don't know why. Like, I don't feel good. I'm not physically feeling at my best at all. I've been having fun this weekend with Maria and Mushroom and Luke and Pymander, but, you know, I haven't been physically that well. And that too, is God's therapy. It's God's warm hands upon me, constantly adjusting my temperature, adjusting my mind, adjusting my brain, my lungs. God gives to all life and breath and all everything. We owe our existence and our every moment to his therapy. It's God who's the therapist. We're not his therapist. May God forbid that we ever be the therapists of God.